TSN 1290, CFRW Winnipeg.
What a cool experience.
Your official home of the Winnipeg Jets. A division of Bell Media. TSN 1290 presents the Illegal Curve Hockey Show with Drew Mandel, Richard Pollock, and Ezra Ginsberg.
Good afternoon, Winnipeg. Good afternoon, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this afternoon at tsn1290.ca, good afternoon, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in studio by my colleagues Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. And for the next 3 hours, we are going to do a comprehensive evaluation of the entire Winnipeg Jets roster. If they played for your Winnipeg Jets this year, we will give them a grade and we will discuss their play over the next 3 hours. And we want to hear from you while we do so. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news is www.illegalcurve.com. Richie, as a disappointing end to the Winnipeg Jets season, obviously, but I'm excited to spend the next 3 hours going through this team and really looking at it in depth.
Yeah, good afternoon, boys. I mean, Thursday night was extremely depressing for everyone that was watching the game or that was at the MTS Center. Obviously, everyone was hoping that the Jets could pick up the 2 points against the Montreal Canadiens and then hopefully get some help from the Rangers and the Senators and hopefully squeak into the last playoff spot, and it didn't work out. And, you know, it's going to be fun to go over the grades for all the players, because after today, it's going to be looking towards the draft and looking towards the free agency period, looking, you know, towards the summer and all the work that the Jets management's going to have to do. But I think if you look back at the shortened season and the fact that the Jets stuck around till the fourth last day, there were good things that happened, you know, in the season. There were some bad things that happened, and we're going to talk about those too. But like we were talking about, off air, the season was not a complete disappointment. Obviously, you don't make the playoffs at the end of the day. That's what it's all about. But, you know, some players elevated their games, you know, including Andrew Ladd and others. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, it was a good season, and they came up short. That's in the simplistic way of looking at it.
They came up short, and probably what some people expected. You know, a fringe team, fringe talent, and a fringe result. So I don't think it was shocking by any means. Did they extend it longer than some people thought? Maybe. Not all people, though. And you're in a bit of a tough position here in terms of, you know, where you are as an organization. Certainly, I think, on the right track. But when you don't make the playoffs and you don't get the playoff experience, you talked about the value, you know, that value. You don't trade players because you want to get to the playoffs. And then you get a draft pick out of the top 10. You know, there's certainly a lot of downside to that.
Agreed wholeheartedly, and that's sort of one of the risks the Jets made by holding on to Ron Hainsey at the trade deadline. And we'll talk about Ron Hainsey, and we'll talk about all the players as we move out throughout today's program. But we have to start with the top line for the Winnipeg Jets. They were the top line all year. Andrew Ladd, Brian Little, and Blake Wheeler. Let's start with the captain of the Winnipeg Jets, Andrew Ladd. You know, it's hard to really to argue with the performance he had this year. Richie, I'll start with you with your grade for Andrew Ladd this season.
Can it be anything other than an A+? It's an A+, Drew, and I think deservedly so. He was the best player on the team as far as I'm concerned. He scored at a great clip. He was passing well. He showed heart and soul. He was able to, I think, take his game to a level that I hadn't seen it been taken before. And I realize he's won two cups, but the role he played on those cup-winning teams is far different than the role he's playing on the Winnipeg Jets right now. And he was the key to this squad. The squad didn't make the playoffs, but it was by no fault of Andrew Ladd. A+.
Yeah, I also am going to give Captain Andrew Ladd an A+. And the reason why he gets that A+ and not just an A, last year he put up his best points total of his career, but this year he put up his best points per game total. And it's not just that. Andrew Ladd throughout the season was the guy that put the team on his back, like you want a captain to do, like Jonathan Toews does for the Chicago Blackhawks, like Stevie Y did for the Red Wings, Crosby does for the Penguins, all the good captains do. And it's more so than the points at what he did. Andrew Ladd fought if he needed to. Andrew Ladd would chip in defensively if he needed to. The seven-game point streak to end the season is what really stands out for me. You know, he put up, he got the NHL player, first star of the week last week, and it deservedly so. You know, but Andrew Ladd really, on a night-in, night-out basis, was the most consistent player for the Jets. There weren't very many nights where you could say he didn't have a good game, you know, and that line, he powers that line.
Yeah.
It's not Brian Little, it's not Blake Wheeler, it's Andrew Ladd that powers that line. But he was the MVP of this team. I really do think that. I know that Andrei Pavlik won the three stars award. But I think you can say after this year that there's no doubt that he should be the captain of this team and that he's the unquestionable leader of this team. And, you know, Andrew Ladd was interviewed yesterday during the exit interviews, with which Dave Manuk has on LegalCurve.com. He's got all the exit interviews up on the website. And Andrew Ladd was saying, you know, this was a failure. This season was a failure for us, and he didn't say specific guys that won't be back. He said there will be changes, but he said at the end of the day, this is the third straight year I haven't gotten to the playoffs, and I'm sick of it.
Did you think Andrew Ladd, and I agree with your A-plus assessment, did you think he had this season in him? Did you think that he could elevate his game to the level that he did prior to this year?
No.
Keep in mind, guys, remember, you know, he had a kid this year, and he decided to stick around Winnipeg. He was going to go overseas and play hockey. He stayed here. So it's not, I mean, he came into the season a little bit cold, if you will. Sure, he was practicing with, you know, the Jets and J.P. Vigier at the Iceplex and all that, but other guys were playing overseas. So the fact that he was a nearly a point-per-game player this year, having played no hockey between October and January, is very impressive. But, you know, Drew, I maybe didn't expect, you know, 46 points. I did think he would be somewhere, you know, around, you know, 35 to 40 points. He outperformed his usual points per game, you know, average over his career. But just the way he led this team on a night-in and night-out basis, you knew what you're getting out of Andrew Ladd. And it reminds me of one of the guys that he was under in Carolina, Rod Brind'Amour, who was the captain of the Carolina Hurricanes. Every single night, you know what you're going to get out of a Rod Brind'Amour. And I think Andrew Ladd's the same type of player. There might be, you know, one or two games in a row where he doesn't get a point, but, you know, he never doesn't give you that effort. And, you know, on a night-in, night-out basis, what you're going to get.
Quickly, yes or no on Andrew Ladd. Is he a top-line left winger on a team that wants to make a deep run into the playoffs?
Based on his play this year, he is. I mean, I didn't think that in the past. I thought he's a solid second-line left winger. Based on his play this year, if you're saying that he's not, I mean, I think you're just trying to protect yourself from what you said before.
I think he is. I think he is a number one left winger in the NHL. And I think, you know, he might even put up bigger numbers if he was playing with, an Andrei Kopitar or someone like that, a better center. No offense to Brian Little. But Brian Little, I don't think you would say is a top 10 or even maybe top 30 center
in
the NHL.
Then let's talk about Brian Little as we're going through that entire top line. Brian Little's grade as the center on the top line of the Winnipeg Jets. I'll start with you, Richie.
He gets a B-plus from me. I thought he had a solid season. I didn't think it was dominant by any means. But I think, to be honest, and as he mentioned this, I think, you know, Ladd drives that line along with Wheeler. I think Little is the third guy on that line. He had 32 points in 48 games. He's actually more of a goal scorer. I think he only had 7 goals this year. 7 goals as the, you know, as the number one center on the team and a line that produced really well. B-plus, like, it was above average, I thought. He was, and again, just to let our listeners know, the grades are in the context of our expectations for the particular player. We're not comparing Brian Little to Jim Slater. We're comparing, our grades are based on what Brian Little did this year, you know, in terms of what our expectations were. So, B-plus, a solid year. Not as good as Wheeler or Ladd, but a solid one.
Is he?
I was a little harder on Brian Little. I'm going to give Brian Little a C-plus on the year, and you know, I think there are a lot of good things that Brian Little does. I think he's a good skater. He's a good stick handler, and I think he can be a good goal scorer. He scored 30 goals in the NHL before, and he scored 20 last year for the Jets. You know, 7 goals in playing every single game, 48 games this year, I think is a little bit low for him. And some games, you know, he wasn't a big factor. You know, I did a little math here. Actually, 24 games this year, he had 0 points. Wow. So in half of the games this year, he didn't have a point. And, you know, on that last homestand, you know, Brian Little had points in every single game. I think he had 9 or 10 points in the 6-game homestand to end the season. He saved the best for last. But Brian Little is another guy, too, that I think you know, to be a number one center in the NHL, you got to be bigger and you got to be meaner. And I think Brian Little isn't the most physical guy. And again, this is my own opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think he's better suited for a second line center role with on this team or any other team in the NHL. And I think that, you know, for your number one line center going into the Western Conference, a guy that, you know, might even struggle to score 20 goals next year. This year, you know, if you calculate it over a season, you know, he'd get 12 or 13 goals. I think that I expected more out of Brian Little this year, because last year, you know, he had a good year, but there were, again, times last year where, you know, he had streaks without any points. So I think that, again, another thing we should mention, when Brian Little, he had four game winners this year. When Brian Little scores, the Jets had a very good record this year. I think they only lost one or two games. Maybe we'll get Remo to check that. I don't have it
he
in front of me.
He only scored 7 goals, though.
Right, but in those games, I think that the Jets only lost one game. So when he's at his best, it seems like that line is at its best. But I think, you know, when you consider half the games this year, he didn't get any points. I think, for me, his season was a bit of a disappointment.
I mean, yeah, every time a guy scores, it helps the team's chances of winning. And I think your point is well taken. You're certainly preaching to the choir with me. He's not a first-line center. The question is he a second-line center on a good team that can make a long run? I don't think his play this year absolutely cemented that fact. But I don't think in any way he's a first-line center. And this team needs to get better up the middle. Scheifele or not, we'll talk about Jokinen. This team needs to get better up the middle. I know there's a right wing need, but there's a center need as well.
It'll be interesting, of course. Brian Little is a restricted free agent this offseason, and later on in the offseason, we'll talk about his contract status and more things along those lines. Blake Wheeler, the final member of that line, he was the right winger this year. He mm-hmm. finished the year with 19 goals and 22 assists for 41 points. Your grade for Blake Wheeler this season?
My grade's an A. Really solid year. You know, I think when we were doing our over-under, which I guess we'll recap either the end of the show or next show, thought he'd exceed, I believe it was 35 points you put out, Drew. 41 points in 48 games. Increases goal total, 19 goals. He really displayed a lot more confidence this year, I thought. I think he's really coming into his own. I thought he had a really solid season, exceeded what I thought he would do, and I thought he'd have a pretty good season. So I give him an A. There's still some weaknesses in his game, and I'm not sure if that's going to change, but the strengths, I think, outweigh the weaknesses. And he appeared to, I don't think he's necessarily a leader. I think he's too sensitive to be a leader, but he does augment the rest of the group well. And if put in the proper position with the proper guys in the room, I think he's a really nice top six forward.
Drew, I gave Blake Wheeler a B+, a little bit lower than Richie. You know, again, in a night-in, night-out basis, Blake Wheeler was extremely consistent. He had 13 multi-point games this year. The only reason he doesn't get an A for me is because in late March there, the couple losses against Washington at home and then the games in New York, he went 6 games without a point there in late March, early April, and that was a part of the year where the Jets really needed him. And again, you know, that's the issue that comes up again and again about this Jets team. When a guy like Blake Wheeler isn't scoring, or a guy like mm-hmm. Evander Kane isn't scoring, you need someone else to score. And they, in that sense, the Jets were a one-line team this year. You know, Evander Kane is obviously a good player, but on that second line, he's clearly above and beyond better. So I think Blake Wheeler had a good season to translates to you know a 35 goal season in a full season. So I think my expectations were high, and I think, you know, he performed. You know, on that line. So he is a number one line right winger. And what I like too quickly about Blake Wheeler this year is I think he was more physical than he was last year. He was getting a little bit more into the corners and laying body checks, and I like to see that. He's not, you know, Keith Primo incarnate, but I think he can still use that size, and I think he does. But I think the thing with Blake Wheeler is that speed off of the wing, when he cuts into the middle, and he's using his speed. You know, he can be one of the most dominant players on certain occasions. So I'll give him a B+. That line, I think, overall gets an A.
Let's go to break. We're grading the Winnipeg Jets season. You're listening to TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca. TSN1290.ca. This segment is brought to you by the Elite Sports Injury Clinic. Regardless of your talent level or how it happened, if you suffer pulls, tears, strains, or spasms, Elite Sports Injury Clinic is your destination to get you back to health. 3 convenient locations throughout Winnipeg means Elite Sports Injury Clinic is always readily available. Check them out online at physiowinnipeg.com. Gentlemen, we're continuing on our grades for the Winnipeg Jets and the players this year. We do want some contribution from our listeners. At Illegal Curve is how you can find us on Twitter. Second line, we did the first line, and they all graded out pretty favorably. The second line starts with on the left wing with Evander Kane. Obviously, he got the big money deal in the offseason last year, right before the lockout. Mm-hmm. Put up 17 goals and 16 assists for 33 points this year. Your grade for Evander Kane, Richard Pollock?
B. I thought he'd be better, actually. He didn't have a horrible season by any means. He had a solid season. You know, he's I think, better defensively than people give him credit for. Obviously, killed some penalties this year, which I liked. Hasn't necessarily improved the portions of his game. I'd like to see a little more improvement. And I'm not sure how much ceiling there is for improvements in the passing category and such. But I know he mentioned yesterday he thinks he took a little bit more of a leadership role on, and that's something that's positive and something to build on. But overall, I didn't think he had a dominant season. There were certainly stretches where he was invisible, and I realized he was playing with injuries, but most players are playing with injuries, especially near the end of a season, regardless of whether it's a short season or not. So he had a solid season, but, you know, when we were talking about Evander Kane's contract and looking at the numbers and such, a player that I'm assuming his agent, Craig Oster, was comparing him to was John Tavares, who, in fact, he exceeds in cap it annually, I believe. Double-check on that. But not in the same ballpark. So not necessarily fair to compare him only indirectly to John Tavares, but I thought Evander Kane's game was solid. But I didn't see a ton of progress over last year, which still ends up making him a 30-goal scorer and a really, you know, a solid up-and-down left winger. But I think he's capable of more, which is why I rated him at a B.
Ezra?
I think on certain nights, Evander Kane could be given an A+. And I'm going to give you two examples of games where he was by far the best player in the ice. In late February, the game in Madison Square Garden, the Jets beat the Rangers. He had 3 points. He was dominant physically and on the score sheet. And the four-point game he had at the end of March in Carolina that the Jets won. And he was dominant physically and on the score sheet. Those games, he was the best player on the ice. And I think on certain nights, he can be the best player on the ice. The reason why I'm going to also give him a B for Evander Kane is down the stretch he struggled, and we should mention that he had the nagging wrist injury, and you know there was also a leg injury that he revealed. Again, if you want to get that audio, it's on illegalcurve.com. Dave has that audio. But to me, the reason why he gets the B, he had 80 penalty minutes, and he was at the top of the league as far as minor penalties taken. Mm-hmm. Richie mentioned that and wrote an article about that, and we talked about that a month ago. And to me, that was a sign of immaturity and, you know, not being disciplined. And I think Evander Kane, going forward, definitely, you know, needs to reduce the amount of penalties he takes because a lot of them are in the offensive zone. But, you know, he got 17 goals. He trailed off, you know, down the stretch. You know, he didn't score at the same pace that he was last year. And he trailed off a little bit. Now, that might be because he was playing with the minor injuries that we just talked about. But I think that, you know, he left a little bit to be desired. You know, he fought a couple times this year just like he did last year. But he was engaged in most games. But I think that's the separation. My expectations were higher than they were last year. And I should qualify this. I'm a big fan of Evander Kane. I think he might be the fastest guy in the NHL. He has an amazing shot, but I still think he has room to grow as a hockey player. And I think he will, by the way. I think he has that in him, and I think that one day he can be a 50-goal scorer in the NHL. He's 21 years old. He's still very young. I think he's 21 still, not 22, right?
I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, he's 21 or 22. Having said that, he's still young.
He is 21. He'll turn 22 on August 2nd.
I mean, the sky's the limit for this guy.
You know, you talk about who he's playing with, too, and that being a detriment. But last year, he didn't play with anything that special either. So I think the reasonable expectations were, and I don't think Ezra and I, our expectations were unreasonable.
Speaking of the players he played with, his centerman for most of the year was Olli Jokinen. He was the big Jets offseason signing last offseason. They signed him to a 2-year contract in unrestricted free agency. He's got one more year left on that deal. Tell me why Olli Jokinen deserves anything more than an F.
Well, he doesn't, and he gets an F. And I realize that he stood up to the media yesterday and admitted such. That's fine. But if your play doesn't change, and if you played that way, then you still get an F. So as much as you man up, it doesn't really make much of a difference. You know, he doesn't win faceoffs. He's not a very good passer. He was awful on the power play. He was awful at even strength. I mean, he didn't do anything. True, he was $4.5 million, and everybody likes to pick on Ron Hainsey. Well, Oliokun was way less effective for that cap hit, and I believe they both have a $4.5 million cap hit, which is really what matters at the end of the day.
7 goals, 7 assists for Oliokun in this year, 14 points in 45 games.
And that's absurd. And that's, you know, he's playing quite a bit, and you look at his overall ice time, I got it here.
17 minutes and 7 seconds average time on ice per game.
Yeah, I mean, 14 points, and you're playing with Evander Kane, and I don't know why they were playing together. I thought that was one of Claude Noel's biggest downfalls, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show when we grade Claude Noel. But Ole Jokinen had an awful year, and you can't really say anything else about it. I don't know how you defend him, and you hope he does better, but at the same time, even the biggest Ole Jokinen supporters, what did they expect this year? 30 points in 48 games? I mean, that's probably high ceiling. 25, around there. So but he was way below that as well. But I still don't really fully understand the signing. But what can you do now? Because you have the option of buying him. I don't think anybody's going to accept him necessarily a trade, but you never know with one more year on his deal. So it's not, you don't get killed by two-year deals, but it kind of was an odd signing to me. And to me, when they did it, and to me now.
Is he?
I think I had the highest expectations for Ole Jokinen of the three of us. And, you know, I remember doing the show at the Free Press Cafe last July, and the Jets signed Ole Jokinen. They gave him a lot of money. I mean, $4.5 million is a lot of money. That makes you one of the highest paid forwards in the NHL, really. You know, not at the exact top, but, I mean, you're a high paid forward. And
you expect, you know, more than 14 points out of him.
Exactly. They brought him in because he's big. You know, he's a former 90-point player. He had 60 points with the Flames. How much of that had to do with playing with Jerome Iginla, mm-hmm. Alex Tanguay, Mike Camilleri? I think that had a little bit to do with it. He was minus 19. He had the worst plus-minus on the team. Ole Jokinen had 3 goals in 13 games in February. He had 2 points in his last 8 games. And in early March, he didn't have a point in 7 straight games.
Wow.
I mean, he was invisible on a lot of nights. In the 45 games that he played, because he missed the last 3 games due to injury, in the 45 games that he played, he maybe had 4 or 5 strong games. But, you know, based on his play on the ice, he gets an F from me. He was awful. And it was, you know, in my wildest expectations, you know, I didn't expect him to have 14 points. This is a guy that was a third overall pick of the LA Kings, and he had 90 points 6 years ago with the Florida Panthers. The guy has a lot of talent, but he was awful this year, and, you know, that's nothing against his character, because he stayed around in Winnipeg with his family, and I think he's a nice guy, and he has the right intentions, and he wanted to play well, but he was just awful this year, and there's nothing else you can say, as Richie already put it.
Kyle Wellwood spent a bunch of the season on the right side of that second line. He played some games not there, of course. Let's go with Kyle Wellwood on the right side there. Your grade for Kyle Wellwood, he's an unrestricted free agent.
He only played 13 minutes a game. I have him at a D because my expectations for Kyle Wellwood, maybe they shouldn't have been a little bit higher, but he didn't improve on his weaknesses at all. He became the same player he was before. And it stretches where he's really invisible and stretches where he has some effective play, like the 2-goal game he had a couple, you know, what, a week ago. But overall, Drew, I mean, within that role and the expectations with playing some of those talented players, I thought he'd be better. And he just showed up periods of time but didn't do much about anything else. I you know, people can... He's not suited to that role by any means. And I think he's in over his head, and it's partially because they have nobody else who can play that role, and they need to fill that role. They need to fill that hole in the offseason. But he didn't do anything to inspire confidence for me.
Would you use the word inconsequential to describe him?
A little bit above inconsequential, but that's what I'd describe him as.
Is he?
I think last year, you know, he put up his best year ever last year, and I think he was one of the best bargains in the NHL for whatever they got him for. I think it was $1 million or less than $1 million as a UFA. He had 1 goal through his first 19 games. Okay, so that kind of tells you right there. He was a healthy scratch 7 times this year. I don't think that the Jets should re-sign him. I think I was talking to someone about this after the last game of the year. Kyle Wellwood has vision and hands that every hockey player growing up wants to have. It's unbelievable the types of things that he can do. Around the net, you know, he makes great passes, but he's slow. He rarely lays a body check, mm-hmm. and that is why he gets a D from me. And, you know, he's the type of player that, you know, probably be better suited to go play in you know, the Continental League or in Europe, because the NHL game, I mean, there's just too many games that, you know, Kyle Wellwood isn't a factor on the ice. I mean, when your second line forward has one goal in the first half of the season, essentially, you know, it's not good enough, and they got to find someone else to fill that role.
The bigger problem is when he is your second line forward.
Yeah. Let's go to break. We're evaluating the Winnipeg Jets roster top to bottom. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Lots of good action on Twitter. Send in your comments at Illegal Curve. This segment is brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the Linden Market Dental Center. Whether an elite athlete or a weekend warrior, wearing a proper fitting custom-made mouth guard designed for you by Dr. Les Rikus and the Linden Market Dental Center is an essential part of your protective equipment. Give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. Contact the Linden Market Dental Center at 204-487-2226 or online at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com.
Drew, before we continue on here with our report cards for the Winnipeg Jets, I got to dedicate this show to Maureen Pollock, John Ginsberg, and Sheldon Mandel, our parents, who are all for educators. My dad's retired. Your dad is retired. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're giving out report cards here. You know, this is the first time I did my report card here. This is the first time I've ever been able to see an A on a report card. So, you know, I'm very excited. But no, we'll dedicate Richie's mom as a teacher. My dad was a professor, and your dad worked at Grant Park for many years. So I want to dedicate this to them because, you know, they can be proud of us because, you know, my dad didn't think I was going to amount to much. I'm just kidding.
But there's an A in fail.
Exactly.
Very nice. Moving on to our third segment here, evaluating the Winnipeg Jets. Eric Tangrady, they acquired him sort of partway through the season from the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's a restricted free agent. He finished the year playing third line left winger for the Winnipeg Jets. Your thoughts on Tangrady's game this year and the grade that you assigned him. Richie, I'll start with you.
I gave him a C, Drew, and you know, Eric Tangrady comes here. I think the first year I got to take into account the context of him coming here. He comes here for a seventh-round pick from the Pittsburgh Penguins. My colleague and a guest on this show many times has put it well. Seventh-round picks are really guys who are going to be put on waivers, and they call around the league to see if anybody will give them a pick before they place the player on waivers. And that's what was going to happen with Eric Tangrady. The Jets obviously wanted him, and they dealt a seventh-round pick, which is fairly inconsequential, but better than nothing from Pittsburgh's perspective for Tangrady. He came in here, and the knock on him, he's a bigger guy without a mean streak. It's really inconsistent. And to me, that's the reason why he gets a C, because he's kind of like the innocuous nice guy, you know? Well, does he play really physical? He's nice, you know? Does he score a lot? He's nice. Like, and that's what it is. I mean, people talk, oh, the third line played really solid, you know, coming down the end of the season. Then you look at the stat line, it's like one goal for 20 games, two goals for 20 games. And so you get into a phase where you fall in love with the players that because they don't do anything wrong as opposed to doing something right. So he tries hard. He's nice, but he gets a C. And C is, you know, what I expected from him. I expected a little bit more, but not much. And I thought even then he didn't do much of anything. And you're talking about a guy who's max fourth line left wing right now. And I kind of feel like James Wright does that job better than he does.
Has he?
I gave Eric Tangrady a C+. And, you know, he struggled when he first got here with offense. He didn't get a point until the 16th game with the Jets, and he only ended up with 4 points in 36 games. But, you know, I think he's a guy that has size, and he can use it. I mean, he's not the most overly physical guy, but, you know, he can get into the corners and cycle. And I think that he was at his best when he was on a line with Alexander Burmistrov and Mike Santarelli for the last 10 games of the year there. I really think that those three guys perform pretty well. But a guy like Tangrady, he hasn't been able to translate the offense from the AHL level. He was in the Pittsburgh system, as Richie mentioned, and he was able to, you know, put up some decent numbers with Wilkes-Barre of the AHL, but he hasn't been able to come into the NHL and translate that. And it's because he isn't as fast as a lot of guys in the NHL. He doesn't have that speed. But Tangrady's an interesting case. I'm not quite sure if the Jets will re-sign him, because he's a guy that, you know, but it's the type of guy you might not be able to replace him from someone from St. John's, but you could argue that they might be able to replace him with a guy from St. John's, so I'm not too sure what they're going to do with him. But I gave him a C+, because I thought that on certain nights, you know, in the 9 or 10 minutes that he was on the ice, you know, he did a good job. forechecking and as I said, you know, it's kind of being the type of guy that would go out and check. So I don't think he was overly impressive, but I think, you know, on certain nights he had better games than others. And, you know, he's the type of guy that I still think has a career in the NHL, but I think, you know, he didn't have enough offense to get a better grade than that.
The center of the third line at the end of the year was a very polarizing guy. His name's Alex Burmistrov. Your grade for Alex Burmistrov this season?
Well, it's a C as well, and I think Alexander Burmistrov utilizing the role that he was at the end of the season actually suits his game more so than putting him up in the top line or the second line, like more specifically the second line. You know, Drew, Alexander Burmistrov is a pretty, I think he sees the game quite well. I don't know what he does with his decision making. His decision making is below par. But he's a solid defensive player, and he has a defensive conscience, and he does back check. I think he's more suited to that role right now. We'll see if he improves his game along the lines. If he doesn't win faceoffs for a center, that's an issue. Makes stupidest decisions in terms of defensive zone with careless passes and fancy plays, and he doesn't think. And another thing is the guy doesn't create much offense. And I realize who he's playing with, but he had 10 points in 44 games, and that's a simplistic way to look at it. He played under 60 minutes a game. But a guy had 4 goals. He put 55 shots on net. Ron Hainsey almost had as many shots as he did, and his shot isn't great anyways. You know, and if he was able to stop playing shinny and start playing hockey, he'd be a better player because he has talent. But, you know, right now he is what he is. And does he have talent to be better? Sure. But I didn't see progress from year to year with him, and that's why he gets a C from me.
Ezra?
I'm going to give Burmy a C+. And, you know, he was a healthy scratch for those 4 games in March, and the Jets won 3 of those games. And, you know, he kind of fell into the doghouse of Claude Noel. And I think that when he came back, he did show more focus. But I think overall, as a hockey player, and we watch every single Jets games, and Richie and I always talk about Burmistrov because he's one of the most frustrating players to watch because he has all of the talent in the world. But I do think overall he does lack focus. And I think Alexander Burmistrov, to me, I think he's the type of guy that you can turn into like a Sergei Breland on the New Jersey Devils. I think you can turn him into a guy that is more of a defensive forward, and he's not the best offensive player. Now, I think that Burmistrov is bigger than Breland, and I think even more physical. But I think that that's what the Jets, you know, there are rumors that, you know, Burmistrov wants to go to the KHL, and we don't know that. We're not going to speculate on that right now. But I think that, you know, as an RFA, the Jets have a decision to make here. Are they going to give him a 2-year bridge contract? Or are they going to give him, you know, a longer-term contract?
No, he's not getting more than 2 years.
And most likely won't. And in that 2 years, you know, that will determine whether he is part of the longer-term plans. Another guy...
He may get 1 year.
It's possible. He's a 2010 draft pick. He's still young. And, you know, he, over the next 2 years, is going to determine if he's part of this organization or not. And I think, you know, if he's willing to go out there and penalty kill like he has done, if he's willing to go check the top players, I think Burmistrov has the ability, the physical tools, to be that shutdown defensive forward. And I think and like you said, Richie, and we've talked about this, you know, a lot, he's got to stop with trying to spin around and figure skate out there and try to, you know, make all these crazy moves. I think, you know, he's got that ability, but that's not the type of player. He should do what he does best. His game is being, you know, type of guy that gets in there and lays checks. And, yeah, he'll pop in the odd goal, but he should be like a penalty killer third line forward. And he should carve a niche for himself as that on this team. But C+, because, you know, he was a little bit underwhelming at times. Didn't have any points in the last 8 games. Struggled big time down the stretch. So I'll give him a C+.
Mike Santorelli was acquired off waivers at the trade deadline by the Winnipeg Jets. He ended up playing 10 games for the Jets. In those 10 games, 0 goals, 1 assist, 1 point, a -5 plus minus. Your grade for Mike Santorelli as a Winnipeg Jet. And do you see him being a Winnipeg Jet in future as he is a free agent? He is a unrestricted free agent come the beginning of July.
He gets just a B- from me. It was only 10 games, Drew, so it's harder to get a gauge of exactly what he was going to do. He did show some nice speed at times, but, I mean, only really because it's more of an incomplete. Is he going to be in the plans? He has a pending UFA, Drew. Guys like him, you know, he has a little more of a scoring touch maybe than some other guys who've come through, but look at the way Florida, just look at Florida. I mean, Tangrady and Santorelli, look at it this way, okay? Does Ray Shiro give away assets? No. The Florida Panthers need forwards. They need players. You see the way they play the past 20 games? Even though he's a pending UFA, yeah. So these Dale Talon and Ray Sherrill may have been born at night, but they weren't born last night. So, I mean, I don't see Santarelli really being in the long-term plans of this team. I mean, they do have a need on right wing. But the question is he the third line guy? Because I assume that it looks like the fourth line guy, right wing, may be a fighter next year. And Wheeler is on the number one, and they're going to try and bring in somebody else, I'm assuming, because that's a need as well, right wing. Is he the kind of guy they want on that line, or do they want a bigger, more physical player? I don't see him coming back. I wouldn't be shocked to see him come back, but I don't personally see it.
Has he?
I gave him a C+, and I disagree a little bit with Richie. I do think that they should bring Santarelli back. You know, 10 games, it's really tough to grade a guy in 10 games. He didn't have a good season in Florida, but this is another guy who's young enough that, you know, he is still developing as a player. You know, I don't think he's going to develop into a 40-goal scorer, even though he had 20 goals a few years back with Florida. But, you know, the way I look at it, if it's between Kyle Wellwood and Mike Santarelli, if they're deciding to sign either of those guys, I think you get Santarelli for cheaper, and I think he's better. So I do think the Jets should sign Santarelli, you know, and I have no inside knowledge if they're going to sign him. But, you know, I like his game. He's got lots of speed. You know, he's good in the shootout, even though you know that I detest the shootout, and you're not going to keep a guy around just for the shootout. But I think, you know, in the 10 games that he was here, it's tough. I'm giving a guy a C+ who only had 1 point in 10 games, but, you know, I do like his game, and I think that, you know, given the right role, which I do think is on the third line, I think he can flourish next year, give them 10 or 15 goals. So I like Santarelli's game. You know, I'm not giving him an A here, but, you know, I'll give him a C+.
Before we go to break, I think the Jets' third line next year needs to be more of a checking line and a line that's a little bit bigger and stronger. And Santarelli doesn't fit that need. I just don't think he fits in.
We'll have to wait and see, Richie. You might be right. I might be right. But one of us will be right.
Or both wrong.
You could both be wrong. You could both be wrong. It's easily possible. Anyways, before we go to break, some comments from people on Twitter. And if you want to send us your comments, add a legal curve. The Sauch, our good friend, says, if you can get Wellwood for under $1 million, I would grab him for another season. Along the same lines of Kyle Wellwood, Monique Olivier says, the assertion that Kyle Wellwood's style of play is better suited to the KHL is a very cogent and compelling one. As soon as we go look up what cogent means in a dictionary, we'll assume that's a compliment. Let's go to break. You're listening to TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, joining us at 1 o'clock is going to be the voice of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN Jets, Dennis Bayak. He's going to join us to talk about the end of the season for the Winnipeg Jets. This segment of the program is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Tonight at Rumors, one final night after two amazing weeks of comedy, Tim Nutt will be there. You can get your tickets online at rumorscomedyclub.com or by giving them a call at 204-488-4520. And just announced earlier this week, coming to Rumors in August 15th to 17th, from the television series Jackass, Steve-O is going to be performing at Rumors. Tickets are now on sale for that. It's a concert series event. So if you're a big fan of Jackass, you can see Steve-O at Rumors August 15th through 17th. Gentlemen, we're going to continue on with our grades of the Winnipeg Jets. We're on to the fourth line, but this isn't actually how the fourth line was set up. But, you know, a lot of these guys had ice time for the majority of the year. We'll start on the left side with Nick Antropov. He's an unrestricted free agent coming to the end of his four-year deal with the Winnipeg Jets Atlanta Thrashers organization. Your grade for Nikolai Antropov, Richard?
Yeah, a C. I mean, Nikolai Antropov, when he wants to actually play, is pretty good. He's a pretty skilled player. He's a big guy. He's strong. He sees the ice pretty well. He can't move out there. He's very slow. But when focused while playing isn't terrible. I mean, you know, he puts out just a little bit under a point every other game. He's capable of more than that. That's why he gets a C, because he could have been better. And the opportunity on this team was certainly there for a player like him to take advantage of. So that's why he grades out like that to me.
I'll go now with my grade for Nikolai Antropov. I'm going to give him a D. You know, he put up 18 points, and, you know, he was injured, you know, in March and missed some games. But for me, the reason why he gets a D, just too many pointless streaks. He had the 7-game pointless streak earlier in the season, and in late February and early March, he did 4 games without a point. And then again, around the Washington games, towards the end of March, he had another 5 games. I mean, those are big stretches where he just isn't producing. And Nikolai Antropov, you know, he can be responsible defensively, but, you know, when he's out there, you know, you need him to score. That's where he's at his best. And Nikolai Andropov, Richie, got a lot of ice time. I mean, you're talking about a guy who got power play time, and you're talking about a guy who got second line time with Evander Kane and whoever else was on that line, Olli Jokinen or Burmistrov or Wellwood. You know, Andropov was getting, 17, 18, 19 minutes a game. And, he's another guy who gets, he gets a lot of criticism for the contract he gets, but more so, pardon me, the amount of money he makes. But, even without the amount of money he makes, he just, he was too invisible on too many nights. And, for a guy like him, to have six goals, it's just not enough to be contributing on a regular basis. So, I'm going to give him a D.
The end of the day, the question is, if he can't become an offensive force or take advantage of the opportunity presented to himself on this team, what team out there can he do that with? That's what I wonder.
Jim Slater signed a 3-year contract last offseason. He only ended up playing 26 games this year due to injury. He had a goal and an assist for 2 points in those 26 games. Now, that's not necessarily his hallmark scoring. Your grade for Jim Slater this year as a Winnipeg Jet?
C+, Drew. My expectation for him was better than 2 points in 26 games. I realize that line seemed to miss Tanner Glass maybe more than most expected, because I think the predominant theme out there, was that Jim Slater drove that line of the GST line last year, not so much Glass. I guess Glass was obviously a big factor there. In any event, I mean, C+, Drew, because of such low production offensively, he doesn't get an F because, he still wins faceoffs at a 54.3% clip, and that's his real value, is in the faceoff circle. But he could have been a little bit better. I didn't think he had the best season. And he was logging just under 11 minutes a game, too. I thought he had a season that was certainly not as good as the season before, the season prior, and the first season the Jets were here. Jets 2.0 were here, and for that reason, he gets a C+.
Rezzy?
I'm going to give him a B, and, I'm trying not to be biased as probably the biggest Jimmy Slater fan out there, but it's tough to also give him a grade because of the hand injury that he suffered, and he only ended up playing 26 games, but his offensive totals were clearly not where he wanted them to be. But, Richie already mentioned this. He's a good face-off guy. He's a good skater, and he's one of the top penalty killers on the team. And I think he still does a good job on the penalty kill. And I think without Jim Slater, they missed a guy who could win those defensive zone face-offs, a guy that is just the type of player, smart player, can be in the right position. And, I give him the B just because he's good at what he does. And I think that, it's unfortunate that they missed him down the stretch because he's a veteran guy at this point in his career, and he's the type of guy that they really need. They don't have a lot of face-off guys, and he's got the year to recuperate. He said yesterday that his hand's getting better. He's not going to be able to play for the U.S. at the World Championships, but he'll have next year, and he'll be able to improve on his play because this wasn't the type of year that he was happy with.
You may be thinking out there, oh, they're getting a lot of B's and C's for guys who got 4 points, 6 points in 40 games. But the thing is we're rating the players and grading them out based on our expectations for them. So if you're putting players in positions where they're really not able to succeed at the level that of players who you think, of third-line level or fourth-line level, I think that has more to say with the lack of talent on the roster itself than the players and their respective performances.
The last player is Chris Thorburn that we're going to talk about for this segment. Chris Thorburn, he's got one more year left on his contract. The grade for Thorburn.
He gets a B-minus, Drew, because he's a fourth-line right winger who plays 5-6 minutes a night and expected to hit and fight, and that's what he did. I mean, that's what they expect from him, and that's what they want from him, and that's what he did. He doesn't have much more talent. The guy plays hard. I think he's a positive effect on the dressing room. He's a great attitude, stands up to the media, a lot of the good things, and I think he does what they ask him to do. Is he as good as he was last year? Probably not, but B-minus, I think that's fair.
It's worth pointing out, last year he was probably playing more third-line minutes than he was fourth-line minutes, goes to show you how the lack of depth that the Jets had on their roster last season.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give Chris Thorburn a B, and he had an assist in that last game against the Montreal Canadiens, a nice assist, by the way. He scored 4 points, and he got into 9 fights this year. And Chris Thorburn stands up for his teammates. You remember, when Toronto came into town, he's got to fight Colton Orr, a guy that's, bigger and one of the toughest guys in the league. But that's what he does. He stands up for his teammates. I didn't like how he only played 4 or 5 minutes on many occasions this year. I think you got to get him a little bit more time. I'm not saying you put Thorburn in the lineup for 15 minutes, but I definitely don't think 4 or 5 minutes is enough. And I think if you look at his average ice time, it was down from last year. and fell a little bit into the doghouse with Claude Noel at times. But, you know, Chris Thorburn is the type of guy that stands up for his teammates, and when he's not in the lineup, you definitely miss him, and you want him in the lineup. And I think sometimes he doesn't get enough credit for, you know, his offensive abilities because, you know, he scored that nice goal against Buffalo last year. But I'm going to give him a B.
On Twitter, Ryan Rankowski asked us, out of the 9 unrestricted free agents, who would you bring back? Just give me one answer before we have to go to break there. Out of the 9 unrestricted free agents, who would you make a committed effort to bring back?
Well, guys, we already talked about Mike Santorelli is one of the guys that I'd like the Jets to bring back next year. And, you know, I would have to say that the veteran guys I wouldn't bring back. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but I don't think you re-sign Ron Hainsey or Nikolai Antropov. But, you know, I would probably give Derek Meech a 2-way contract. I think Grant Klitsam has earned the right to maybe be the 6th or 7th defenseman on the team. So I would say, you know, Klitsam, Meech, Santorelli, you know, those guys. But, you know, I'd have to take a strong look at it because there are some younger guys coming in next year. You've got Trouba coming in. You've got Scheifele coming in, possibly even Adam Lowry coming in. So, you know, on the spot, those are the guys that I would re-sign.
I think Klitsam because he can play the left side D and you need some depth there. And maybe he hops over Stewart, maybe he doesn't, but I think he's more suited to that third pairing, but they do have a lot of the right side Ds, as you just mentioned. Wouldn't be bad to have a left side D here. Depends on the cost, of course, but I think of the 9 UFAs, quick look at all of them, and it's not a pretty, it's not the prettiest list of players ever. I think Klitsam would probably be number 1 on my list.
Let's go to break. When we come back, Dennis Bayak, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN Jets, is going to join us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. To go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN Jets. Dennis Bayak. Dennis, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Well, you're very welcome. How are you guys doing today?
Doing very well. How about yourself, Dennis?
I'm good. You know what? The sun is shining, and this time of the year is always difficult when all of a sudden the season comes to an end, and your whole routine has to change, but that's the way it is, and now we'll enjoy some warmer weather.
It'll make us appreciate the playoffs when they eventually come this way.
Well, you know what? I mean, I've been fortunate enough to be around some playoff hockey, and it's from a everybody's standpoint, from a broadcaster standpoint, from a fan standpoint, it is absolutely a blast because it's a 7-game series and you've got storylines that just kind of go from game to game, and it's just a fun time of the year. And the fans, I know, would have really enjoyed it in this city had the Jets been able to make it.
Dennis, we're going through the Winnipeg Jets roster today on the program, going through all the players and giving them grades and evaluating their performance over the course of this abbreviated season. First player I wanted to ask you about is Andrew Ladd. We started off the show by giving him an A-plus for his performance this year. Did you think coming into this season that Andrew Ladd had this, you know, as part of his capabilities as an NHL player?
Well, you always wonder when guys are going to take that next step. And you know, with Andrew Ladd, we saw flashes of it in the past. Obviously, his stats and his Stanley Cup pedigree and stuff will indicate that he brings a lot to the table. We certainly knew he was a good leader inside the dressing room. But offensively, it has been a breakout year for him. And to see the consistency from the offensive side, going into the season, the question mark was the line of Ladd, Little, and Wheeler a number one line? And some people had it as far down as just a real good number three line, and other people with around the Jets kind of felt they had one and 1A with the two lines. Well, that line emerged as a true number one line, I think, in the National Hockey League, and they just sealed that deal with the 34 points that they had in that homestand, and it was the captain that led the way. And the timing of that was so important because they came back from that 5-game losing streak, and they needed to get a winning streak at the MTS Center. And it was really Andrew Ladd that led the way.
Dennis, the next guy we wanted to ask you about was Evander Kane. You know, he mentioned to the assembled media yesterday that, you know, he was playing with a sore wrist and he had the leg injury as well. But as far as Evander Kane's season goes, you know, as a whole in this season, did you think he took a step forward?
I think he did. You know, he got into some penalty killing that he didn't do before. I, I think when you look at the penalty killing numbers that got so much better in the last 30 games, a lot of that had to do with some of the personnel changes and the way they killed penalties, using speed more than a system, or more into their system, and Evander Kane was part of that. Offensively, I think he's always going to go through peaks and valleys because he's a shooter, and shooters go through stretches where the puck's going to go in the net, and then shooters will go through stretches where, for whatever reason, the puck doesn't want to go in the net. So I think we're always going to see that from Evander Kane. What you want to try and limit is the streaks where you have the no goals. I mean, you want to try and keep those to 4 or 5 and not let them get into 7 and 8. But I do believe he became more of a complete player, and going forward, he's always going to be the focal point, depending on everybody getting signed or not, because it's that second line next year. If it's Kane, Jokinen, who's going to be on the other side? So that line is always going to be a focus of conversation, and it starts with Evander Kane. But I thought he was fine. I think his numbers are good. You know, when you look at the numbers of Andrew Ladd and Evander Kane, or Andrew Ladd and Evander Kane, the thing that jumps out at you is the Jets did not score a lot of power play goals. I mean, those power play numbers, those offensive numbers for those two guys could have been better if the Jets were another 5 or 6% better or 10% better on the power play, and that didn't happen.
Great point, Dennis. You know, we talked about the first line, and we talked about the second line. You mentioned Jokinen playing with Kane. Alexander Bermistrov has obviously been a lightning rod in this city. And if that is how the two lines are set up next year, Bermistrov, if he's in Winnipeg, seems to be probably the third line center. Do you see that as a role for him going forward, or do you still see him as capable of much more?
Well, you know, that's a loaded question when you come to Evander Kane. You know, I mean, there's some people, and I sometimes wonder, will he be in the National Hockey League next season? And the only reason I say that is because Evander Kane's looking for a new contract. And I think what Alexander Bermistrov is looking for a new contract. And I think what Alexander Bermistrov's people are looking dollars and term, I don't know if the Winnipeg Jets are looking in the same ballpark when it comes to dollars and term. And I can see some contract issues between the two sides. To me, I always get the feeling that Bermistrov knows he has the KHL in his back pocket, and whether he uses that card or not, I don't know. I guess time will tell. So from that standpoint, that's the first thing I'll say about Bermistrov. Secondly, you know, if he wants to play the game, and he's a talented player. Mm-hmm. I'll say that right off the bat. He's a very talented player. If he wants to play his East-West game when the coach wants to try and implement a Northwest system, then he needs to put up big-time numbers. And that way you force the coach to keep you in the lineup. And we have not seen that from Bermistrov. His minutes played have been up. Yes, I know he was used in a defensive role at times, and all that is good. But the bottom line is, if you want to play outside the system, then you better put up enough numbers to keep you in the lineup. And I don't know if that happened consistently enough over this past season.
You're listening to TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. We're joined on the line by the voice of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN Jets, Dennis Bayak. We're going through the Winnipeg Jets roster. Dennis, obviously, I'm sure you read Gary's article today in the Winnipeg Free Press. We spent about 2 hours discussing Dustin Byfuglien a couple of weeks ago on this program. Come September and training camp, do you think Dustin Byfuglien is still a member of the Winnipeg Jets?
Boy, another loaded question. if they can,
you're never going to come on again.
here's what you know, and this is my opinion. This is what, you know, what I would do if I'm in charge, and I'm not in charge. I would certainly look around and see what the market value was of Dustin Byfuglien. And the first thing I'll say to that is, because the Winnipeg Jets, when you look at right-handed defensemen, they have Zach Bogosian, they have Zach Redmond, and they have Trouba that are right-handed defensemen. So if those three guys are going to play, and maybe Jacob Trouba doesn't start the season here, we'll see that through training camp, but I would be surprised if somewhere next year he was not a regular member of the Winnipeg Jets. Whether it's 10 games in, 15 games in, that's all going to depend on him and the training camp that he has and what happens going forward with him. So now you've got three right-handed defensemen. Now can one of those guys flip over and play the left side, mm-hmm. where you have Toby Enstrom and you have Mark Stewart. And now we're not even getting into any unrestricted free agents that they sign. We're not talking about Paul Postma yet, who played down the stretch. We're not talking about Derek Meach. Arthur Skulda, where does he fit in? So all those things come to play. The Winnipeg Jets need a top six forward. If there isn't a top six forward that they can get via the UFA market, and I'm not sure there is going to be one out there that is, then you have to look at via the trade market. And you have to give something to get a top six forward, and because of the reasons I just gave, if they can get a good deal for Dustin Byfuglien, then I think you make it.
Dennis, you mentioned Jacob Trouba, a little bit, and you mentioned that you weren't sure, if he'll play the whole season. But we got to ask you about him because he is one of those guys, looking towards the future. I know we're recapping the 2013 regular season, but looking towards the future, he's one of those guys that Jets fans are really excited about. I'm pretty sure Jets fans were putting Trouba on the back of their jerseys, within seconds of, him being signed by Kevin Cheveldayoff. But is your gut feeling that they're going to try to give Jacob Trouba a full season in the NHL?
Well, Seth Jones will play in the National Hockey League next year. Mm-hmm. Jacob Trouba showed at the World Junior Championships that he's as good as, if not better, than Seth Jones. He had a real good season in college. He had a real good tournament at the World Juniors, and it is going to be up to Jacob Trouba. Nobody gets handed a spot. They're not going to say to Jacob Trouba over the summer, hey, we really like the way you practiced. We like the season you had last year. We like what you did at the World Juniors. You've got a spot here next year, and when you come to Winnipeg in September, don't be afraid to go out and get a place to live. That's not going to happen. Jacob Trouba is going to come to camp. He's going to participate in preseason games, and it's going to be up to him to show the Winnipeg Jets organization that I am ready to play in the National Hockey League. Does he have the ability to step right in? I think he does. Then they're going to have to make the decision, do we want to put this guy right in, or do we want him to go to St. John's for 10, 12, 15 games, let him get his feet wet, slowly, let him see what the American Hockey League is all about, and then when we call him up, let it be in his mindset that I don't want to go back to the AHL. I feel I'm ready to play in the National Hockey League. So that's simply going to depend on training camp and how good of a camp and how good of a preseason that he can have.
Moving to the crease, Dennis, and Andre Pavlik obviously played a ton of games this year, played in 44, started 43, and I heard you on the Big Show this week talk about just how many shots he had against him this year. I think we know he's going to be the starter next year. If is there one thing about Andre's game that you think maybe if he could work on that one thing, he could be even better next year?
I like what we saw from Andre Pavlik. Whether fatigue played a part or not, I like the fact that he challenges a little bit more. I think he made huge strides this year as far as the shootout was concerned. I think that stopping 9 of 10 in the shootout in Toronto did wonders for Andre Pavlik's confidence in the shootout. Now it's just a matter of continuing to get better. Take that one goal that happens every two or three games that he says to himself after, I want that one back. Eliminate that. Make the opposition work for their goals. But having said that, and the focus of my conversation yesterday with a lot of players and even with Coach Claude Noel was, how do you cut down the shots against?
Yeah.
Because this team still gives up too many quality chances. And it went from Claude Noel saying it's a commitment to defense and getting on the people that are on the ice saying, hey, your lackadaisical play just cost me a minus in the plus-minus category, and I don't like that. Other players said we spend too much time running around in our own end. We have opportunities to get it out. We don't, and then we're running around, and now we're stuck at the end of a long shift, and now you get three, four shots, two, three great scoring chances all in the same play. So try and play in the offensive zone a little bit more. So I think that's part of the situation with Andre Pavlik. It's not the amount of games that he plays, but it's just the heavy minutes that he plays and the amount of shots that he will get sometimes in a 4 or 5 minute span of a hockey game. But other than that, I agree with Coach Claude Noel when he said yesterday that Andre Pavlik was one of the guys that made some strides this year. The shootout is such a big part. I really like what we saw. He got off the goal line a little bit. I thought he was more aggressive, and if he continues up that road, I think Andre Pavlik's going to be fine.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. We're joined by the voice of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN Jets, Dennis Bayak. Dennis, you mentioned Coach Noel a couple of times in that previous answer. This was his second, sort of full season as an NHL head coach, lockout notwithstanding. Did you think that he sort of changed and matured as a head coach comparing this year to last year?
Well, you know what? It was, he had an opportunity, and I know that he's looking forward to next year's training camp because this group has never had what you would call a normal training camp. Last year's training camp, they were operating under the schedule of the Atlanta Thrashers. They had some split squad games to play. Half the team was in Columbus. The other part of the team was in St. John's. The other part of the team was in Nashville. They played a split squad game against Carolina and Charlotte. They were all over the map, and they never really had what you would call a good training camp. And then this year rolled along, and with the lockout, everything was jammed into 1 week. So I don't think they've had a real good training camp where you can, as a coach, say, all right, here's what we're doing right from the get-go. This year, everything got jammed into 1 week. I think Claude Noel has made some great strides as far as a head coach. More and more, we're seeing the players play that north-south style that he wants. It's fast, it's quick, it creates opportunities. So from that standpoint, I think they made great strides. There's other areas that, you know, they need to get better at. They need to get better on the power play, and they still need to get better in their own end. Is that coaching? Is that personnel? Maybe a little bit of both. Probably most of it is personnel and just getting dedicated to the defensive side of the game in their own end and having a few more offensive people. Having Toby Enstrom hurt as much as they did, I think really hurt the power play, because when you look at the numbers of the power play the first nine games, the numbers were fine. So you can't just say all of a sudden the coach, when the power play went bad, say, well, you know what, it wasn't the coach when it was good, but it's the coach when it went bad. So some of those areas have to be fixed. But I know there's rumblings out there that, especially from national media, that Coach Claude Noel should be replaced. I'm certainly not in that camp by any stretch of the imagination. I think Andre that Claude Noel does a very good job here behind the bench, and give him a full training camp and let him start with a normal training camp and go from there.
Dennis, we have one final question for you here, and we appreciate you taking your time out here and staying a little long. As far as Kevin Cheveldayoff and you know the work that he has, you know, coming up as far as the draft and free agency, do you think that this year is going to be the first real year that he's able to put his stamp on this franchise?
I think it is. You know what? It takes the first summer. They were just getting everybody in place, and then, you know, last summer, coming off that first season, you still had guys under contract. There's a lot of work for Kevin Cheveldayoff this summer. I think between the two teams, that being the Ice Caps and the Jets, I think I counted yesterday 26 players that have no contract. So either they have to be cut loose or they have to be re-signed. And that doesn't take into account unrestricted free agents that they're going to maybe look at, trades that they're maybe going to look at. So this is going to be a busy summer, but he has the opportunity to really put a mark on this franchise, his stamp on this franchise. And by him, I'm talking about his management group, Craig Heisinger, all the pro scouts, Coach Claude Noel, everybody's going to be in on some meetings, but ultimately it's going to be Kevin Cheveldayoff that's going to have to pull the trigger on this deal, turn down this deal, whatever the case may be, make the pitch to this guy and that. So there's some players out there, there's some teams out there that are going to be right up against the salary cap, with the salary cap coming down, that are going to have to move players. And those teams are going to move those players for draft picks or for younger players because they don't have room in the salary cap, so they're not going to take a contract back. So there's an opportunity for the Jets there with the number of draft picks that they have to try and chase some of these players. And there's been names bandied about. Bobby Ryan going all the way back to the trade deadline. Thomas Vanek, I'd have to think, if Ryan Miller gets moved out of Buffalo and the Buffalo Sabres start a complete rehaul, that's going to be another name that's going to be out there. I'm not saying they're all going to end up in Winnipeg, but I'm just saying there's names out there that because of salary cap situations that teams are against or wanting to change the makeup of their team that are going to be available, and that's another way that you can get a top six forward. So that's still, I think, prime objective number one is to increase the offensive depth. If you want to look at, I'll just give you a brief stat here about secondary scoring. You look at the points that the Ladd Little Wheeler line picked up in the 24 wins that the team had and compare it to the losses that the team had. It is astronomical. Ladd goes something like 32-14. Little, I think, goes 25-6, and Wheeler goes 33-8 in the games that they won versus the games that they lost. So that tells you right there, secondary scoring is an area that must get improved with this hockey club.
Dennis Bayak is the voice of the Winnipeg Jets on TSN Jets. And as always, Dennis, thank you very much for your time. Great insight into this squad.
Thank you, guys. Keep up the good work. See you soon.
Take care, Dennis. Thanks very much. Let's go to break. You're listening to TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Big thank you to Dennis Bayak for having just joined us. In case you missed any of that interview, it will be available for download both on illegalcurve.com and on tsn1290.ca. We're continuing to evaluate and grade the Winnipeg Jets. The last group that we're going to touch on is, or last group of forwards, rather, that we're going to touch on. Let's start with James Wright. They acquired him just before the start of the season from Tampa Bay off of waivers. Your grade for James Wright, he's under contract for one more year for the Winnipeg Jets.
B+. I thought James Wright played quite well and, you know, kills penalties. I think this team needs some penalty killers. And if you're going to slot in players, you know, can he play a kind of a Tanner Glass role in that? You know, he can probably provide more offense than Tanner Glass. He's bigger than Tanner Glass. I think he can slot in as your fourth line left winger. I don't think third line. He doesn't take advantage of those opportunities. He isn't very offensively gifted, but he can be a fourth line guy and slot in beside Jim Slater, and play a nice role. He surprised me. He's already under contract for next year, which helps. He gets a B+ from me.
Has he?
I gave him a B. I think I'd be wrong if I gave him any other grade. You like that? Right, wrong. I think I could have given him. I know we're gonna get some tweets about that one, but you know I could have given him a B+. You know, James Wright came over from the Tampa Bay Lightning organization in Florida.
Yeah,
because
right.
I believe he was claimed off of waivers or traded, and then the Jets got him. But you know he is under contract for one more year, and I do think the Jets and True North really do like James Wright. And he only had 2 goals and 3 assists in 38 games. But he had 3 points in his last 4 games. I think he was really good towards the end of the season. And I think what I liked the best about James Wright is that he's a really good skater. He's got good speed, and he played good minutes on the penalty kill. He even dropped the gloves a couple times. I think he had 2 or 3 fights. But another thing, you know, worth noting as far as James Wright goes, if you look at his minutes from when he first came over, and as the season progressed, his minutes increased.
Yep.
Claude Noel gave him more and more responsibility.
Good point.
And I do agree with Richie. He's the type of guy that I think at best in the NHL level, because he's not the most gifted scorer, is going to be a third liner. Now, next year, you know, is he a third liner? Is he a fourth liner? I think it depends, like Richie said, what they want to do with the third line. I think he can play, to be honest with you, both roles. But I think moving forward, he's the type of guy that's going to be dependent on as a number one penalty killer. You put him out there as a winger with Jim Slater, that's your number one penalty killing unit. I think he's mobile, and, you know, he's a smart guy. James Wright's a smart player. What I love the most about him is that he'll drop the gloves. He's not a heavyweight, but he'll drop the gloves for his teammates. You know, he's not a heavyweight like Chris Thorburn, as I mentioned. But, you know, I really like Wright. And I think he's one of those guys that the Jets, you know, got for a good deal there.
You don't often see a guy admit that he's probably not going to be re-signed, but that's pretty much what Antti Miettinen did yesterday in the end-of-season interviews. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he was disappointed with his play for the Winnipeg Jets the past 2 years. Unrestricted free agent come the beginning of July. Your grade for Antti Miettinen?
He gets a D. You know, obviously, he didn't get into the lineup too often, but based on last season, this season. Yeah, Antti Miettinen's always kind of been a tweener, Drew. Just not good enough to be the second-line guy, but not really suited for the third-line role either. Even when you saw him in Minnesota, wasn't killing penalties, wasn't playing a ton of power play time. But, you know, like, what was he doing then? Is he a third-liner? Is he more of a defensive guy, or is he an offensive guy? And he is that tweener, and he hasn't performed well. He admitted that, and I think you're going to obviously see him go, and I thought he had a season that merited a D.
Richie, I give him a D as well. You know, he only had 5 points in, you know, half season, 22 games, but he went 7 games without any points in, from mid-March to the end of March, and he ended up being a healthy scratch, you know, starting in early April, and then found his way back into the lineup. But, you know, he's a guy that, you know, Chevy was able to acquire off the waiver wire, and, you know, it kind of looked like, okay, this could be a good move because he's a veteran. But the days of him on the Dallas Stars and the Minnesota Wild where he was a 20-goal scorer are long gone. And again, I mean, Antti Miettinen, I won't be surprised if he goes to go back, goes back to Finland and plays another 2, 3, 4 more years of pro hockey. I think he's got skill, but you know, at the NHL level, I think Richie and I were talking about this off air. Antti Miettinen is the type of guy that, because he doesn't have the scoring touch anymore, you know, what are you going to use him as, a defensive forward, where you've already got guys that can play that role? You've got a James Wright or a Jim Slater or an Alexander Burmistrov. So where does he fit in? So I don't think that he's going to be back, you know, as a Jet next year. But I do think he will continue his career probably in Europe.
Yeah, Antti Miettinen's a guy who just doesn't have a good enough shot. And as you mentioned, the goal scoring. You put him with Mikko Koivu, who scored 15, 20. But a really talented player beside Mikko Koivu, who scored 25 to 30.
Aaron Gagnon is an unrestricted free agent after this year. He was a late call-up by the Winnipeg Jets. He got into 10 games. He scored 3 goals in those 10 games. Your grade for the brief period of time that we saw Aaron Gagnon?
You know, it's hard to rank the players who played such for such brief periods of time, as you mentioned. Drew, B-plus, based on what we saw, it's because he had some nice hands. He'd go to the net. He'd do a little some things that other players in the team wouldn't necessarily do. But, you know, he's a pending UFA. I don't think he fits into the team's long-term plans. He may very well be back in St. John's again and be a fill-in, but I don't think he cracks the top 12 of the Jets roster.
As if
I gave Aaron Gagnon a C+. I probably could have given him a B. Richie gave him a B+, but you know, he scored 3 goals. He had that game-winning goal against Buffalo where he was a star. I think that was one of the nights where we actually picked the stars. But you know, he's the type of guy that, you know, he's 27, 28 now. He's kind of banged around the AHL. You know, and I think he's earned the right to be an NHL player at this point. But you know, on the Jets, I think the only reason really he got into the lineup was because of injuries. You know, he was one of the Ice Cap's best players, but I think, you know, he's a fringe guy. Not sure, you know, maybe they'll give him a two-way contract and he'll kind of split time between St. John's and Winnipeg next year. But I thought, you know, he was okay in the 10 games he played, so I'll give him a C+.
The guy that, when they called up Aaron Gagnon, they sent down Patrice Cormier, and Gagnon sort of took his spot in the lineup.
Yep.
Your grade for Patrice Cormier, he's a restricted free agent come the beginning of July.
Yeah, he gets a C, Drew, and I mean, he plays 4 minutes a game, so that's why I give him a C, only because he didn't play really enough to... Like, he didn't really play well when he played, but he played so little it was hard to give him a grade. So giving him a C, but it's a tough grade, of course. I like how he's physical and isn't scared to contact, isn't scared to go into the corner. Of course, his issue is that he doesn't have great hands and he can't really create too much offense. So his face-off ability is something that, based on what the team has in Jim Slater, it's going to make it hard for him to jump over Slater or even take Slater's place, and they didn't trust him in that role. So I don't know what his future is with the team, if any at all, to be honest.
Richie, maybe I'm being a little harder on these players, maybe just because I had to work so hard for my C+ when I was in university. I'm going to give Cormier a D. And, he only played 10 games here, but he was largely ineffective in those games. You know, he was only getting 4 to 7 minutes a game. But, you know, I had high expectations for Cormier. He was a first rounder.
That's because he was a former Devil.
Exactly. He was a first rounder of the Devils, and he was a former captain of the World Junior team. I mean, this guy has the ability. And, you know, I don't necessarily know that he's transitioned well to, you know, the pro game. We've talked before with Robin Short of the St. John's Telegram, not overly impressed with Patrice Cormier's game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's still young. You know, he's 22 years old, I believe, 23 years old. He's still got time to, you know, get better. There are a lot of guys that have to spend 5, 6, 7 years in the AHL and you know, to get to the NHL level. But at this point, I think he leaves a lot to be desired. And this is coming from someone who had high expectations of him, probably higher than other people. So it wasn't the best season for him, in the AHL or NHL.
Last player, last forward, Anthony Peluso. He's a restricted free agent. The Jets got him, again, in training camp. Your grade for Anthony Peluso?
I mean, play 5 games. So, again, tough to really say. He gets a B because he had that nice offensive game, I think, in New York with Jokinen in there. But he's a big guy, and he's mean, and he's scary, and obviously he got hurt fighting. But if the Jets are going to employ a fighter next year, the question is, you know, is it Thorburn's under contract or is it Peluso? And Peluso is bigger and stronger than Thorburn, but can he play? And I know he can, if he's in the offensive zone, he's a bigger guy to get the puck off of, but can he play as well as Thorburn or better than Thorburn? I think that's a question they're going to have to ask, because Thorburn's making so little money in NHL terms. But he gets a B for the small amount of time you saw him. He did his job as he was asked to.
Drew, I'm going to give him an A, and it's just because I saw him so much in the press box, and I don't want him to be listening to this and possibly get mad at me and maybe see me in the press box next year and take it out on me. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, in five games, he had 2 points. I'm going to give him a B. I'll give him a B. In the five games that he played, he had 2 points. He got into that fight. I think, you know, Anthony Peluso, you know, is the type of guy, you know, he's got better skating ability maybe than he gets credit for. And I think he's another type of guy. Maybe you give him a two-way contract, and he starts the season in St. John's, and then if they need to call up someone to replace a guy like Chris Thorburn. So I think he should stick around in the organization, and he likes Winnipeg. He's always tweeting about Winnipeg, and he's become a bit of a fan favorite, even though he's played five games. So I'll give him a B.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to shift our focus over to the back end, and we're going to start giving our grades for the defensemen. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.